So there are two chapters in Exodus 3 through 4 where God and Moses are having a back and forth conversation. It's all a part of the burning bush experience. And God is going to have Moses speak, and he's first going to speak to his people, the Israelites, about what's kind of a wild plan of liberation on God's part. And then he's going to have Moses speak to Pharaoh, who just happens to be the highest human power in the ancient world. And he's going to speak against slavery and the oppression of a people, and he's going to demand their release. And here's my loose paraphrase of that exchange. God says, go, and Moses says, yeah, I don't know. And God says, go, and Moses says, are you sure about this? And God says, here's what's going to happen. And Moses says, I'm not sure anyone's going to listen to me. And God says, here's how you can show that these are my words. And Moses says, those are great words, but I'm not very good with words. And God says, I will give you the words. And Moses says, that's a good idea, but hear me out. I've got a better idea. Why don't you give the words to someone else? And at this point in the story, God has been very patient with Moses, but he's starting to lose a bit of that patience. And he says, I will give you help, but I'm expecting you to speak as well. Now, usually about this time in the story, people start to give Moses a hard time, but not me. I can understand where he's coming from. I am no Moses. I don't begin to insinuate that I am Moses, but I can sympathize. I feel called to speak, but like Moses, I know there are all sorts of ways that I fall short as a person. And I know there are all sorts of ways where my wisdom falls short and my words fall short. And I can imagine all sorts of ways where I can get this wrong. Because the reality is we are going through a challenging time, and this is a challenging topic. And it's a hard enough conversation to have, and I think we need to have this conversation, and we should have been having this conversation, and we need to keep on having this conversation. And it's hard to have at any time, but it's especially hard when there is this kind of distance, when we're not talking face to face. At least in the same room, if not sitting at a table, sharing conversation together. It's hard when I am on this side of the camera and you're on that side of a screen. You can tune me out in person. You can turn me off in these moments, and I understand that. So before we go any further, I want to ask you to pray with me. And I would urge you, even though you're there and I'm here, don't just listen. Please join me in prayer. Loving Father, maker of heaven and earth, and infinite lover of all that you have made, we are a hurting people in a hurting world. And we see there are shortcomings all around us, and we confess that there are shortcomings among us and within us. And though sometimes we have a hard time seeing them, and we know that we even have a harder time confessing them. And so I pray that you will give us humility. And I pray that you will give us open ears and receptive hearts, not to my limited words, but to your words and to your spirit. And Father, I confess that I am a flawed presenter, and I am imperfect in my words, and I am imperfect in my actions. And I ask that my limited words would be the wisdom of your words. And more than words, Lord, I pray that we as a church and a community and as a nation would learn to live in your ways of love, of justice, of equality, of peace. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who showed the way and made a way. Amen. So I personally have not lived through a year that has been harder for our community or our nation. And some of what we've been dealing with is new for all of us, and the last 3 to 4 months have been extremely hard, and the majority in our church have not lived through something like this, a global pandemic of this magnitude and all the devastating fallout that has happened and is happening and will happen. But sadly, some of what we are dealing with over the last few weeks, it's not new at all. It is the culmination and continuation of hundreds of years of history. It is just one more verse in the same sorry song. I'm reminded of the passage that pops up a couple of times in Scripture. You remember the one that talks about the sins of the fathers and the mothers? You've heard it, most likely, even if you don't remember, because the first time it shows up is in the Ten Commandments. And then it shows up again in Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Thank God, that's good news. Yet, He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. I used to understand passages like that, saying that God is doling out punishment in the present for sins from ancestors in the past. And I don't understand it that way anymore. Other scriptures kind of fight against that, Old and New Testament. I do not think that that passage is ultimately about God's condemnation. I think it does speak to human causality, cause and effect. Another way we might say this is we not only reap what we sow, but other people who come after us reap what we sow. And we reap what people who came before us sowed as well. Now, there are really positive, hopeful implications of an idea like that. When we sow love and equality and justice and compassion, when we sow generosity and beauty and all manner of wonderful things, then the next generations can reap the fruit of that. And we know, we have all experienced many positive things, beautiful things that people who came before us sowed that we reap the beauty of and the benefit of. And it's why we have to be thoughtful and responsible about who we are and how we live, because it doesn't just impact us. And it doesn't just impact our contemporaries. It impacts the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We want to be a people who sow the goodness of God in all things. But just as good can be sown, evil can be sown too. And we continue to see that. The seeds of the sins of racial injustice of the past have grown up into persistent weeds of injustice all around us, and pain and suspicion and systemic oppression, and it impacts the present. And some might say, well, look at all the progress that has been made, the weeds that our society has pulled through the years. We've come a long way, and to that I would say that's true. But that doesn't mean that other weeds aren't still growing all around us. As my flower beds would attest today, the weeds I pulled a month and a half ago don't mean I don't have weeds growing all through the garden that needs to be addressed. These seeds that have been sown are all through the soil, and they are in the air. And I'm sure some would say, you know what, your metaphor woefully misses the mark, because it is not a garden of weeds, it is a forest of trees. And I wouldn't argue with that. So what do we do? Well, I've already given my disclaimer at the beginning. I am no Moses, and I don't pretend to act like I can give a definitive, comprehensive answer this morning or ever. I'm not that smart. There are experiences I cannot possibly have had because I have only lived my life in my skin. What I do want to do is offer a few modest proposals of some places we can start that will hopefully keep us traveling a better road. And that's what Jesus urges us to do in Matthew 7. He wants us to travel the better road. Now, Jesus starts with an idea that we're all familiar with, the golden rule, and it is simple enough for a child to know, but it is hard enough that most of us will spend our entire lifetimes truly trying to embody. Sow in everything. Do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, we've heard variations on the golden rule our whole lives. Our kindergartners get the concept. Would you want someone to share their toys with you? Yes. Then share your toys with them. Would you want someone to take your toy from you? No. Then don't take their toy from them. Our problem has never been a basic understanding. Our problem is everyday doing, because the golden rule demands action. Don't just think, don't just feel, do. Do to others, act, be with, speak up, stand beside, clothe, feed, support, serve, share, listen, learn, pray, help, hold, love, do. Do to others what you would want, how you would want it. Do. That is the whole law and prophets wrapped up in one idea right there. If people have been hurt, oppressed, abused, pushed aside by individuals or systems because of the color of their skin, and it's been happening in variations for hundreds of years, and you wouldn't want that to happen to you, or people like you, or people that you love, then do. Do. Do to others do for others as you would hope and pray they do for you. Do. The teaching is so simple, but historically, the application has been so hard. Which I think is why Jesus immediately follows up the golden rule with these words. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that lead to life, and only a few find it. Now, Jesus is grabbing onto his image, an image his hearers would be quite familiar with, because ancient walled cities had various roads leading to them and various gates where people could go in and out. And some of the roads and some of the gates were wide, and so it would be easy for a lot of travelers, even merchants, to come in and out, people and goods all at one time, and some were much smaller. And you had to slow down, and you had to take turns, and you couldn't bring the whole load all at one time. You couldn't have multiple people going at one time. It just wouldn't fit. In other words, a traveler who wants to enter has to be more deliberate about their actions, about their thoughts, about what they leave behind and what they take with them. You can't just go with the flow or go with the crowd. Our society has been traveling down the wide road through a wide gate for a long time. And Jesus tells us what awaits at the end of that road. That is a path that leads to destruction every time. And we have seen the destruction. And I'm not just talking about buildings, I'm talking about lives. We have seen the destruction. When I hear the description of the wide gate and road versus the narrow gate and road, I can't help but think of all the times you hear in TV shows and movies, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. And usually it shows up something like this. The easy way is when you give up, you give in, you roll over, you stop trying. But the hard way is when you confront the challenge that lies ahead, you face the foe, you face your fear, you engage the contest, you take risk for what's right. Jesus never said that it is easy to walk the path of love. Of real love, of godly love of neighbor as yourself, of doing for others what you would hope and pray they do for you. He did not say it was easy. He said that is the path of life. It's not the easy way, but it's the way of life. The easy way in a time like this is to distance. Their problems are their problems, not mine. The easy way in a time like this is to deflect. Well, yeah, hundreds of years of systemic racial injustice is bad, but have you seen what a few people have done besides peacefully protest? I don't condone looting, and I don't think violence is the answer. But let's be honest, there's a reason why my focus is where it is in this conversation, because there is a 99.9% chance that the people on whom we might like to deflect the focus right now are not listening to this video. So I'm speaking to the people who are. And the easy way in a time like this is to deny. I don't see it, so it can't be all that bad. And the easy way in a time like this is to defend. I don't do it personally. I'm one of the good ones, one of the good people, so this doesn't apply to me. And I hope you are. I'm not saying you aren't. I hope I am. I hope we are. But this is bigger than who we are as individuals. The easy way in a time like this is to dismiss, I'm not a racist, so I don't have any responsibilities beyond myself that have to do with societal or systemic issues. That's just a sampling of the easy way, the wide gate, the broad road that we can be tempted to walk down as individuals and as a church and as a society at a time like this. And that path of sticking our heads in the sand, it leads to destruction. The narrow gate, the narrow road, the hard way, the way of life, is not to deflect, but to reflect. It is to slow down and look inside and ask the Spirit to help you look inside. It is to slow down, and as a church, we look inside and we ask the Spirit to help us look inside. It is to slow down and reflect and look at the community around us and ask the Spirit to convict us where we need to be convicted. The hard way, the way of life, is not to defend, but to digest, to take it in. As James says in 1:9, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And I would add, and slow to become defensive. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow down on the defensiveness. The way of life is not to dismiss. It is to learn. We might say, I don't have anything to feel guilty about. To which I would say, whoever said the goal was guilt? The goal is growth. Listen to learn to grow. And wherever that growth takes you, that's where we go. There are a lot of great resources out there. This is not the beginning of the conversation, and by no means is it the end of the conversation. And you can find, and perhaps you have found, a lot of great resources on your own. I'm going to point you to just a couple that have been helpful to me here of late. And I'm going to include links and information in the emails that we send out and in our Facebook posts and YouTube posts as well. One is, a Christian organization called Be the Bridge, which is working for reconciliation and helping train the church to be people of reconciliation, which is what we are called to be. Another is a book I read about 2 years ago called Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson, and it is a book that opened my eyes and it cut me to the core. And there's actually a movie that came out within the last 6 months that I've not seen, but it is now being made available for free on several online platforms right now, YouTube and Amazon Prime and probably some others as well. I haven't seen the movie yet. I have read the book, and it is powerful. And Brian Stevenson is also a part of what's called the Equal Justice Initiative. And you can get on their website and you can learn more. And that has been very informative and educational for me. Church, we didn't get into this situation overnight as a nation, and we won't get out of it overnight either. We have to keep listening. And we listen to learn. And we learn to grow. And we want to grow in doing. because that's what the golden rule is all about. The sum total of the law and prophets. Do. Don't just think. Don't just listen. Don't just learn. Don't just feel. Then do. Do to others what you would hope and pray they would do to you.